I am fantasy and paranormal romance author Leslie Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Friday, April 21st, 2023, and this is episode 214 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So this week's best thing is that it was my birthday. I thought about doing one of those, this is 45 posts on social media. Then I decided against it quickly because, I mean, I don't mind people knowing how old I am, obviously. It's just that I wasn't really feeling it. But yeah, I had a, you know, pretty normal day. I didn't really take off. I thought about it. I thought about doing a lot of things. I was like, I'm going to go get a manicure and a pedicure. I'm going to go do this and that. And I just stayed home. I got on late onto the writing video chat that we do every morning, and even though I wasn't writing this week again, but I wanted to see my friend. I wanted to get some work done. So I did admin. I went out to dinner with my mom and my husband and her partner, and so I had a nice day, had a nice meal. It was very relaxing, bringing in this 45th year quietly with a lot of introspection, which I will talk about in a moment. But yes, my writing update. I took another week off from the writing. I focused on admin and promo and planning. Not really a lot of promo, actually, as I look back on it, considering I have a book coming out in 1 week. It's been very low key, but I have been sending to my newsletter every week. So in the 4 weeks leading up to the release of Beastly Kingdom, which comes out April 28th, I have been messaging them. Also, because I've been a part of a couple of promos that I sort of had to email my list about. I haven't done a ton of social media, but I did do a post today, and I'll probably do I'll see if I can schedule one every day for the last few days of the lead up into the release. Considering all of that, I have a good number of pre-orders. It releases during a PolyCon, the event. So I've had a bunch of pre-orders from that event, and then things I'm mailing out, and then ebook pre-orders on the different platforms. And yeah, it's about half as much as I had for Savage City, which I did a lot of activity to promote. So, and also it's book two. So really you need to have read book one. And I'm not really worried about it. I'm actually happy. Like if you get a 50% read through from book one to book two, that's good as far as I know. And as far as I'm concerned, that's really good. So if I can get people to know that it exists, that's, you know, the biggest challenge. My primary promotional activities are going to be after release, or actually starting in a few days when I'm discounting Savage City, the ebook, to 99 cents. And I've set up a bunch of different promos. I did not get a BookBub, which is like the granddaddy of book sale promos in terms of email lists. But I used this service called Ram's Promo Stacker. And I will put a link in the show notes if you are an author and are unaware. And I spent about $500 on various promos. So I figure push book one. There's an obvious lead into book two. I updated the ebook with the first chapter or the excerpt of the first chapter of Beastly Kingdom. So hopefully if I can push book one, then people will naturally go into book two now that it is available. And so that is my primary force of or focus of promotional activities, and that's where the money has gone. I could do some ads, like some Facebook ads or Amazon ads, but I am not thinking about that right now. Because I did spend, you know, a lot of the budget, basically all the budget on this promo thing. So we'll see how that works out. And then when the ebook comes out in a couple of months, when the audiobook comes out in a couple of months, I will do something else. And maybe I'll focus on some Facebook and Amazon and BookBub ads then. But I have to refresh myself on the ad classes. I don't do a lot of ads anyway. So I didn't feel like that was the best use of money and time right now. So we will see how it goes. Everything's been scheduled. It's ready to go. The book on every platform but Amazon, on where you can buy, like every retailer platform, you can schedule sales ahead of time. So I think I'll just put Savage City, change the price on Amazon today. It's scheduled. I think the first promo email, is it the 24th or the 28th? I don't know. I don't have to look again. No, might be the 24th. So just to make sure that it's done in time, and because I'm going away this weekend to celebrate my birthday, I will just do it today. And that will be all set up and ready to go. And that's what I'm doing. So in terms of the admin and sort of the planning that I've been doing, it's just really thinking about, you know, I have the writing, of course, there is the course and the footnotes newsletter, and I really like doing those things. And so we're putting it into buckets. There is the authoring bucket where I actually just write the books. And then there's the My Imaginary Friends branding bucket, where it's just the course and the footnotes newsletter. And I'm enjoying doing the newsletter. I'm enjoying doing the course. I want to do more courses. I'm going to do like a world building mini course. And I think I'm going to do like a 5-day world building challenge. And I'm still planning that stuff out because I don't know what that looks like yet. I think the next larger course would probably be a plotting course, and just having ideas about that, because that's what people have indicated that they wanted to see from me. And then also thinking about AI and how that's going to change, how it is changing, and it's going to continue to change the world of books and publishing. Just hearing how people are using it in ways that, frankly, I'm uncomfortable with and wouldn't do, but not being the god of everything, I can't control it. So how do you move forward in a world where this is what's happening? You know, I've played around with various AI, with ChatGPT and with PseudoWrite as writing assistants, you know, thinking of it as advanced thesauruses, things like that, where you're using it to maybe start research, to generate ideas, to brainstorm in the same way that I would brainstorm with friends. I'd be like, hey, I'm having the story problem. Let's talk it through, and I'll get ideas. Very rarely do I use anything my friends tell me, and very rarely do I use exactly, or I've never used exactly what an AI chatbot gives me, but it does spark ideas. And so I think that is something that I'm comfortable, that's a way that I'm comfortable using it. But hearing about how other people are using it in ways that just at the moment make me uncomfortable. And I instinctively kind of push back against, like, I know I'm not going to do it. You know, things like going through the process of having it generate ideas, generate character arcs, generate outlines and then synopses, and then actually writing first chapters of the book, you know, or the first drafts, I should say, of the book that, you know, a human being still has to edit and put a lot of work into. But that kind of stuff is like, And then seeing that there are people out there doing this and then selling this to other people, they're selling outlines and character arcs and character backstories and just whole packages to other authors who would then take that and still, you know, have to write something, have to write the book, either take the first draft from the AI and revise it into something. So it's still like human effort, but cutting out so much of the creative process, frankly, the parts that even if I struggle with first drafts and they're not my favorite thing, but it's part of the process. And I do love the whole process of writing a book. And so, yeah, I'm speaking from my perspective, but also, you know, I would never hire out ghostwriters to write my books. And people have done that for a long time. I would never, you know, farm out this content creation to other entities, human or not. You know, I think that putting your name on a book that you didn't actually write, if you want to be a writer, like, what is actually happening there? What's the point? And, you know, they talk about celebrities with ghostwriters. That's a slightly different thing, because, you know, a celebrity is not trying to be a fiction writer as their career, you know. So when they do their memoir and they have a ghostwriter, you know, that's fine. Like, that's what it is. Or when a politician or whomever, like, ghostwriting as a profession has been around for a long time, and people get their start doing that and get a lot of reps, get their 10,000 hours and then break off and tell their own stories. And I really don't have any issue with that when it's not the person on the cover's goal to become a writer as their career. You know, there are people in this industry that I know who do put, you are fiction authors as a career and farm out everything. And I mean, to me, that just crosses a line, you know, like, try not to be a judgmental, although I am a judgmental person. I just have to acknowledge that. But, you know, not my circus, not my monkeys, whatever. But the fact, you know, there's a big blow up this week, as far as I know, and I was told of the blow up. I have been in my little bubble, not on Facebook very much, so not seeing the blow up about a small publisher who stated, as he originally, he was going to, you know, his small press with the authors were going to publish 700 books this year. And then with ChatGPT, he raised the number to 10,000 books. And authors predictably were not pleased about this. And there's nothing we can do about this. You know, everyone is going to do what they're going to do. So imagine tens, hundreds, thousands of authors putting out thousands of books every year. Whether or not they're good or not, whether or not they're readable, it's just this huge influx, deluge of content that is going to be magnified. If there's 25 million books on Amazon now, when there's a billion next year because of AI, how does anybody get seen? These are problems that we all have. Even the people publishing 10,000 books this year are going to have a visibility problem. I mean, there's readers who are reading a book a day, so there's need, there's desire out there for more to read. But for those of us, let's call them artisan writers, artisan creators who might be interested in some assistance, like using a thesaurus, using tools, using a brainstorming aid, using, you know, the parts that you don't like, the parts that make you uncomfortable. There are people who don't write their own sex scenes. They farm that out. Romance writers, I mean. So there's lots of, you know, and I can't say what's legitimate for everyone. I just can only think about, you know, what I feel comfortable with, what is legitimate for me, my own ethics, and how to show up in this world with this happening. So yeah, just doing some soul searching about that and trying to figure out my North Star. So there is a post that I just read recently. I've been putting it in the Footnotes newsletter about finding your North Star. And I've been thinking a lot about your values. It's essentially what are your guiding principles in your life and in your business, and using those things to help you make decisions. So this was kind of a rough week for me. There's been a lot going on, a lot of like struggles on business areas of my life and having to make some really hard decisions. And so that's another reason why I've been thinking about this concept of the North Star and how to use my values to make decisions about my career and what I'm going to spend time on, what I'm going to do, and what I'm going to put into the world, how I'm going to show up, all of that. And sort of during this process, I've been thinking of how to double down at being human, how to do the thing that I do, the thing that I do uniquely that no one else can do, whether it's a human or an AI, that no one else can do but me, and focusing on that and having that be part of that North Star equation. And yeah, that is something that I think we're all going to have to face. There are a lot of industries that are disrupted. There's a lot of jobs that are going to go away, being farmed out to AI. And these people, you know, artists, writers, visual artists, people who are going to be obsoleted by technology, just as people have been for many years, are really going to have to figure out what's next, what to do next, how to do the thing that you love in a world where maybe it's not valued as much, or finding the people who do still value it and finding a way to give it more value to people. There is a lot of noise, and the noise is increasing. So how to cut through that, how to be authentic, how to be meaningful. I was writing about it on Tumblr yesterday. I finally watched this video from this musical artist who I've actually been following for a long time. His name is Ren, and he has this video called Hi Ren that has 10 million views on YouTube. And like I said, I followed him for a long time. I actually contributed to his GoFundMe, I think, last year, because he's had a lot of health problems, and he was trying to get this, I guess, experimental treatment. He had to travel from, he lives in the UK to the United States for that. And so this song comes from this. He's had struggles for many years with physical and mental illness, and it's 9 minutes long, but I really implore everyone to watch it if you haven't already. It's got 10 million views, so you might have already seen it, and I know it's all over TikTok. And so I watched it, and then I immediately went and watched this reaction video compilation, and I felt like I was watching it with other people because of watching it with the reaction video. And then I watched it like 3 more times in different reaction videos. I feel like, you know, my new hobby is just watching Hi Ren and watching reaction videos of it, because it's just really moving and it's really touching. And it shows how being human, being vulnerable, being authentic to this experience is something that so many people can relate to. Look at the comments on that video. People of all ages from all walks of life are saying, this is a human experience that I recognize. This is my experience. This is my family or friend's experience. And it's so relatable. And that just really underscored the things I've been thinking about. He's doing it with music, thinking about it with writing, whatever your art form is, whatever your way to be human is, how to just double down on that, which is something that Dorna Penn talked about doubling down on being human. I'm sure other people have said it too. And yeah, we all have to figure out the way forward in this ever-changing world, right? So these are just my thoughts of how I'm thinking about doing that and how I'm thinking about what that means for what I write, how I write it, how I publish it, how I market and promote it, all of those things. Now, speaking of AI, because I was learning more about it and hearing people's experiences with it, I decided to bite the bullet and ask ChatGPT about me. I posted this on Instagram. I will link to it. I didn't have any expectations going into this question. I wasn't even sure it would know me, but it did. It listed, you know, I wrote, "Are you familiar with author Elle Penelope, who also writes as Leslie Penelope?" And it said, "Yes, I'm familiar. She's an American author, writes fantasy and romance novels." It listed my books, including one book called The Red Labyrinth, which I did not write. I'm not familiar with that book. I need to go look that up. But hey, I might write one. Maybe it's talking to me from the future, and this will be the impetus I need to write The Red Labyrinth. Then I asked it, "What style does Elle Penelope write in?" And it responded, "Elle Penelope's writing style can be described as a blend of fantasy, romance, and adventure. Her books often feature strong and complex characters, vivid world building, and richly imagined mythologies. She's known for creating immersive and compelling stories that explore themes of love, identity, and belonging, while also incorporating elements of magic, politics, and action. Her writing style is also characterized by a lyrical and poetic quality, with descriptions that are both vivid and atmospheric. Elle Penelope's writing style is unique, and she has developed a dedicated following of fans who appreciate her originality and storytelling skills." At that point, I was tearing up. And then I asked another question, and I won't read that one, but I struggle with, I've been struggling with, like, what do I do well? Not just in writing, but just in life. And it's hard sometimes to think about that. Like, there's things I think I do well, but maybe I am deluding myself. I'm always kind of battling that voice in your head that sort of questions your validity and your strengths. And then there's things I know I do well when I am at my best. And sometimes when I'm not at my best, I question all of that. So does the validation from ChatGPT help? Honestly, yes. I mean, because I know that it is pulling it from things out there, probably things I've said in interviews and things that other people have said about me, and distilling it in a way that is actually helpful for me to see. So yeah, I'm not anti-AI. This was actually really helpful for me to think about, how do I promote myself? What do I do well? What am I known for? Like, if you ask me, I'm not going to be able to answer. So that's why I asked ChatGPT. In other cool career things that happened this week, I got a DM from a 16-year-old who is doing a paper on me for his American literature class. I immediately texted my family and close friends, like, head explode emoji. That should have been on my bucket list, and now it is. Now I can cross it out. So in other news, next week I start the cohort for the Imaginary World Building course. Well, this week, as you listen to it, tomorrow actually, starts on Tuesday, and I'm really excited about that. I'm a little nervous too, because it's the first time I'm doing something like this, but I think it'll be fun, and I think it'll be elucidating, and I think interacting with people one-on-one or in a small group like this will hopefully help me be able to teach better and understand what people really need and are looking for. I'm also thinking of doing a survey. I've been supposed to be doing a survey in various, like, podcast survey and newsletter surveys for probably 2 years. It was on my to-do list literally a year ago or more. I never got around to it. But I'm going to put it back on the list. So I want to do, I've done one podcast survey a couple years ago. I'll do another one, and for my Elle Penelope list, and then for the Footnotes newsletter, just to see where things stand. Maybe not all at the same time. Maybe all at the same time. I don't know. Who knows? This is part of the planning process. I have so many ideas in my head, and they're very jumbled. And I've been trying to clear things, clear the deck, just do a brain dump of all the ideas so that I can start organizing things and making plans. I went through the HB90, Sarah Cannon's Heart Breathing's quarterly planning system. So she has her course that I recommend regularly. She does it every quarter. I've gotten away from actually doing the planning, but this week I sat down and I did part of the planner, did the goal setting and sort of just reviewing, resetting, relooking at, is that a word, the goals that I have and how I want to think about what success means to me, and has that definition changed? I could pull it up. I don't remember what I wrote, but it has shifted and changed. And so, yeah, as I'm thinking about all these things, and I don't know if I feel like I'm in flux. I just feel like this is a good time to review, turned in this book, have a little time on my hands, diving into another project soon, review, make sure that I feel like I'm on the right track, assess what I want. Sometimes I don't stop and think about what I actually want. And this week I definitely did that. And I realized there are some things that I have to cut out and that aren't really what I want. I'm just doing them because of the inertia, you know, because I'm pushing forward. I can be stubborn about certain things. And sometimes you're just on this path with blinders on and you don't stop and take a look at where you are, where you've gotten. And I'm on a path, but is it the path I want to be on? And is it the direction I really want to be headed in? And that can take a lot of self-reflection. So that is the buzzword of the day. But yeah, it was a good week. It was a hard week. It was a painful week. I had to confront some things, do scary things, do hard things. And that's sometimes what it's like. So I hope that you have a wonderful week coming up. And my goals for this week will be get back to the writing. And still continuing this process, which is not nearly done or close to done, of evaluating, planning, figuring things out. Part of my personality and things I learned from the Strength Finders and like the Becca Syme work is that my personality is a certainty seeker. I think that's part of what intellection and deliberative, these are the strengths that I have in my top 10 strengths. And so I have to think about things for a long time until it comes to some sort of point where I feel that certainty. And I don't know what that requires until I get there. But then when I know, I know. It just takes a long time. So I'm in it right now, you know, like in that process of thinking and rethinking and reading articles and listening to podcasts and videos and just things about a lot of different things, like kind of spreading a wide net. I've subscribed to like 20 newsletters in the past week. I'm sure that I'm going to cull it down, but I'll find them. Substack is dangerous. You know, since I moved Footnotes, the newsletter, to Substack, now I'm in this ecosystem. They have that new feature called Notes, which is sort of like a Twitter-esque clone. But since Substack is populated by writers, so much interesting stuff. I can fall down a rabbit hole just looking at notes and following links and then reading articles and then reading comments and thinking about things from just a wide variety of topics and writers. Very dangerous, but it suits me. And I actually put a timer on because I spend a lot of time consuming content to distill it and curate it for the Footnotes newsletter, which is, I love doing it, but I'm doing it more and more than I thought I would. I have, and I'm high input. Input is my number two strength. So I do have to put some boundaries on it and make sure I'm corralling it and not just, because I will get input fatigue. I will sit down and 2 hours later, first of all, so I set the timer for 30 minutes and then I blow right past it. And so 2 hours later, I'm finally had input fatigue and I'm like, I've read too much. I must go watch silly television now to like rest my brain. I had a point that I've probably forgotten. So anyway, my goal for the coming week, get back to the writing and, figure some more stuff out. Spend some more time intellecting and inputting and thinking about where I want to go and how I'm going to get there. A Polycon is this week. Hopefully I will have an on-the-road podcast for you next week probably from a Polycon. And yeah, more travel to come. It's a busy spring and summer, but I'm looking forward to it. I hope that you have a wonderful week and I will talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to get the show notes in your inbox along with other stuff, sign up for the Footnotes newsletter at myimaginaryfriends.net. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. Email me at podcast@lpenelope.com. And I would really appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.